A short sketch of the life and teachings of Sriman Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev, Part 10. The Bhatta Acharya was the professor of many sannyasis in the order of Shankara Acharya Sampradaya, and Sarvabhauma himself also belonged to that cult. As such, the Bhatta Acharya desired that this young sannyasi, Lord Chaitanya, also hear from him about the teachings of Vedanta. Those who are followers of the Shankara cult are generally known as Vedantists. But this does not mean, however, that the Vedanta is a monopoly of the study of the Shankara Sampradaya. For Vedanta is studied by all the bona fide Sampradayas, but the Shankarites have their own interpretations. But those in the Shankara Sampradaya are generally known to be ignorant of the knowledge of the Vedantist Vaishnavas. For this reason, the Bhaktivedanta title was first offered to A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami by the Vaishnavas. So Lord Chaitanya agreed to take lessons from the Bhatta Acharya on Vedanta, and together they sat in the temple of Lord Jagannath. Sarvabhauma went on speaking continually for 7 days, while Lord Chaitanya heard the Bhatta Acharya with all attention and did not interrupt. Lord Chaitanya's silence raised some doubts in the Bhatta Acharya's heart. And so Sarvabhauma asked Lord Chaitanya how it was that he did not ask anything or comment on the Bhatta Acharya's explanations of Vedanta. Lord Chaitanya posed himself before the Bhatta Acharya as a foolish student, and Lord Chaitanya pretended that he was hearing the Vedanta from Sarvabhauma because the Bhatta Acharya felt that this was the duty of a sannyasi. But Lord Chaitanya did not agree with Sarvabhauma's lectures. By this, Lord Chaitanya indicated that the so-called Vedantists among the Shankara Sampradaya or any other Sampradaya who do not follow the instructions of Srila Vyasadeva are simply mechanical students of the Vedanta, and they are not fully aware of that great knowledge. For the explanation of the Vedanta Sutras is given by the author himself, Srila Vyasadeva, in the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. But one who has no knowledge of the Bhagavatam will hardly be able to know what the Vedanta says. So being a vastly learned man, the Bhatta Acharya could follow Lord Chaitanya's sarcastic remarks on the popular Vedantists. Sarvabhauma therefore inquired from Lord Chaitanya why he did not ask about any point Lord Chaitanya could not follow. The Bhatta Acharya could now understand the purpose of Lord Chaitanya's dead silence for the 7 days Lord Chaitanya heard Sarvabhauma. This clearly showed that Lord Chaitanya had something else in mind. Thus, the Bhatta Acharya requested Lord Chaitanya to disclose his mind. And upon this, Lord Chaitanya spoke as follows. My dear Bhatta Acharya, sir, I can understand the meaning of the sutras, like Janmadi Asya Yataha, Shastra Yonitvat, and Atato Brahma Jigyasa from the Vedanta Sutra. But when you explain them in your own way, well, then it becomes difficult for me to follow them. The purpose of the sutras is already explained in them, but your explanations are covering them with something else. For you do not purposely take the direct meaning of the sutras, but instead indirectly give your own interpretations. Lord Chaitanya thus attacked all Vedantists who interpret the Vedanta Sutra fashionably according to their limited power of thinking, only to serve their own purpose. Such indirect interpretations of the authentic literatures, like the Vedanta Sutra, are hereby condemned by Lord Chaitanya. Mahaprabhu then continued to speak. Srila Vyasadeva has summarized the direct meanings of the mantras of the Upanishads within the Vedanta Sutra. Unfortunately, you do not take their direct meaning. You indirectly interpret them in a different way. The authority of the Vedas is unchallengeable and stands without any question of doubt. And whatever is stated in the Vedas must be accepted completely. Otherwise, one challenges the authority of the Vedas. For example, the conchal and the cow dung are bone and stool of two living beings. But because they have been recommended by the Vedas as being pure, people accept them as such because of the authority of the Vedas. So the idea being expressed by Lord Chaitanya is that one cannot set up his or her imperfect reason above the authority of the Vedas. For the orders of the Vedas must be obeyed as they stand without any mundane reasoning. The so-called followers of the Vedic injunctions make their own interpretations of the Vedic injunctions, and thus they establish different parties and different sects of the Vedic religion. Just as Lord Buddha directly denied the authority of the Vedas, and Buddhadev established his own religion. Only for this reason, the Buddhist religion was not accepted by the strict followers of the Vedas. But those who are so-called followers of the Vedas are even more harmful than the Buddhists. The Buddhists have the courage to deny the Vedas directly, but the so-called followers of the Vedas have no courage to deny the Vedas, although indirectly they disobey all the injunctions of the Vedas. And Lord Chaitanya condemned this. So the examples given by Lord Chaitanya of the conchal and the cow dung are very much appropriate in this connection. If one argues that since cow dung is pure, then the stool of a learned Brahman is still more pure, one's argument will not be accepted. Cow dung is accepted, and the stool of a highly posted Brahmana is rejected. Lord Chaitanya continued speaking to the Bhatta Acharya. The Vedic injunctions are self-authorized, and if some mundane creature adjusts the interpretations of the Vedas, then he or she defies the authority of the Vedas. It is foolish to think of oneself as more intelligent than Srila Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva has already expressed himself in his sutras, and so there is no need of help from personalities of lesser importance. Vyasadeva's work, the Vedanta Sutra, is as dazzling as the midday sun. But when someone tries to give his or her own interpretations on the self-effulgent, sun-like Vedanta Sutra, then one simply attempts to cover this sun with the cloud of one's own imagination. The Vedas and Puranas are one and the same in purpose, for they ascertain the absolute truth, which is greater than everything else. The absolute truth is ultimately realized as the absolute personality of Godhead with absolute controlling power. As such, the absolute personality of Godhead must be completely full of opulence, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Yet, The transcendental personality of Godhead is astonishingly misascertained as being impersonal. The impersonal description of the absolute truth in the Vedas is only given to nullify the mundane conception of the absolute whole. Personal features of the Lord are completely different from all kinds of mundane features. The living entities are all individual persons, but they are all parts and parcels of the Supreme Whole. If the parts and parcels are individual persons, then the source of their emanation must not be impersonal. The source is the Supreme Person amongst all the relative persons. The Vedas inform us that from Brahman everything emanates, and on Brahman everything rests. And after annihilation, everything merges in Brahman only. Therefore, Brahman is the ultimate dative, causative, and accommodating cause of all causes. And these causes cannot be attributed to an impersonal object. The Vedas inform us that Brahman alone became many, and when Brahman so desires, he glances over material nature. Before he glanced over material nature, there was no material cosmic creation. Therefore, his glance is not material. Material mind or senses were unborn when the Lord glanced over material nature. Thus, evidence in the Vedas proves that beyond a doubt, the Lord has transcendental eyes and a transcendental mind, and they are not material. His impersonality, therefore, is simply a negation of his materiality, but not a denial of his transcendental personality. Ultimately, Brahman refers to the personality of Godhead. Impersonal Brahman realization is just the negative conception of the mundane creations. Paramatma is the localized aspect of Brahman within all kinds of material bodies. But ultimately, the supreme Brahman realization is the realization of the personality of Godhead, according to all evidence of the revealed scriptures. The supreme Brahman is the ultimate source of all Vishnu tattvas. The Puranas are also supplementary to the Vedas. The Vedic mantras are too difficult for an ordinary man. Women, Sudras, and the so-called twice-born higher castes are unable to penetrate into the sense of the Vedas. Thus, the Mahabharata as well as the Puranas are made easy to explain the truths of the Vedas. In his prayers before the boy Sri Krishna, Lord Brahma said that there is no limit to the fortune of the residents of Brajabhumi, headed by Sri Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mayi, because the eternal absolute truth has become their intimate relative. The Vedic mantra maintains that the absolute truth has no legs and no hands, and yet goes faster than all and accepts everything which is offered to him in devotion. The latter statements definitely suggest the personal features of the Lord, although his hands and legs are distinguished from mundane hands and legs and other senses. Brahman, therefore, is never impersonal, but when such mantras are indirectly interpreted, it is wrongly thought that the absolute truth is impersonal. The absolute truth, personality of Godhead, is full of all opulences, and therefore he has a transcendental form of full existence, knowledge, and bliss. How then can one establish that the Absolute Truth is impersonal. Brahman, being full of opulences, is understood to have manifold energies, and all these energies are classified under three headings by the authority of the Vishnu Purana, wherein it is said that the transcendental energies of Lord Vishnu are primarily three: his spiritual energy and the energy of the living entities are classified as superior energy, whereas the material energy is an inferior one which is sprouted out of ignorance. The energy of the living entity is technically called Kshetragya energy. This Kshetragya Shakti, although equal in quality with the Lord, becomes overpowered by material energy out of ignorance, and thus suffers all sorts of material miseries. In other words, the living entities are located within the marginal energy between the superior spiritual and inferior material energies, and in proportion to the living being's contact with either the material or spiritual energies, the living entity is situated in proportionately higher and lower levels of existence. The Supreme Lord, however, is beyond both the inferior and marginal energies, as above mentioned, and his spiritual energy is manifest in three different phases, as eternal existence, eternal bliss, and eternal knowledge. As far as eternal existence is concerned, it is conducted by the Sandhini potency. Similarly, bliss and knowledge are conducted by the Kladini and Sangvit potencies respectively. As the Supreme Energetic Lord, he is the supreme controller of the spiritual, marginal, and material energies. And all of these different types of energies are connected with the Lord in eternal devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is thus enjoined in his transcendental eternal form. So, is it not astounding that one dares to call the Supreme Lord non-energetic? The Lord is the controller of all energies, and the living entities are parts and parcels of one of the energies. Therefore, there is a gulf of difference between the Lord and the living entities. How then can one say that the Lord and the living entities are one and the same? In Bhagavad Gita also, the living entities are described as belonging to the superior energy of Krishna. According to the principles of intimate correlation between the energy and the energetic, both of them are non-different also. Therefore, the Lord and the living entities are non-different as the energy and the energetic. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego are all inferior energies of the Lord. But the living entities are different from all of these, being superior energy. This is the version of the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The transcendental form of the Lord is eternally existent and full of transcendental bliss. How then can such a form be a product of the material mode of goodness? Anyone, therefore, who does not believe in the form of the Lord is certainly a faithless demon, and as such is untouchable, a persona non grata, a person not to be seen, a person fit to be punished by the Plutonic king Yamaraj. The Buddhists are called atheists because they have no respect for the Vedas. But those who defy the Vedic conclusions, as above mentioned, under the pretense of being followers of the Vedas, are verily more dangerous than the Buddhists. Sri Vyasadeva very kindly compiled the Vedic knowledge in his Vedanta Sutras. But if one hears the commentation of the Mayavad school, as represented by the Shankara Sampradaya, certainly such a person will be misled on the path of spiritual realization. The theory of emanations is the beginning subject of the Vedanta Sutra. All the cosmic manifestations are emanations from the Absolute Personality of Godhead by His inconceivable different energies. The example of the touchstone is applicable to this theory of emanation. For the touchstone can convert an unlimited quantity of iron into gold, and still the touchstone remains as it is. Similarly, the Supreme Lord can produce all manifested worlds by His inconceivable energies, and yet He is full and unchanged. The Supreme Lord is Purna, complete, and although an unlimited number of other Purnas emanate from Him, the Supreme Lord is still Purna. Now the theory of illusion of the Mayavad school is advocated on the ground that the theory of emanation will cause a transformation of the Absolute Truth. If that is the case, then Vyasadeva is wrong. In order to avoid this, they have skillfully brought in the theory of illusion. But the world or the cosmic creation is not false, as maintained by the Mayavad school. It simply has no permanent existence. A non-permanent thing cannot be called false altogether. But the conception that the material body is the self is certainly wrong. Pranava, Omkar in the Vedas, is the primeval hymn. This transcendental sound is identical with the form of the Lord, and all the Vedic hymns are based on this pranava omkar. The words tat vam asi are but side words in the Vedic literatures, and therefore this phrase cannot be the primeval hymn of the Vedas. But Sripad Sankara Acharya has given more stress on these side words, tat tvam asi, than on the primeval principle, omkar. Thus, Lord Chaitanya spoke on the Vedanta Sutra, defying all the propaganda of the Mayavad school. Recorded December 2, 2022, by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.